It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm still standing. Tubbs is still standing. We dedicate this to him. He is still standing. Well, earlier, you know, in the conversation in the show, I wanted to get that song played.
Give me props for living.
You've been through a lot.
I'm still here. It ain't killed me yet.
Let's talk about cell phones.
Those will kill you. Radiation.
I have a particular stance on this that I'm just not moving away from. And I'm probably going to be on the other side of this debate than the parents out there, because I'm not a parent. I am somebody that's worked in a school. So people actually are talking about this, whether to ban cell phones here in the state of Minnesota, okay, in terms of in the classroom. And we're talking about outlawing the phones and smartwatches in kindergarten through eighth grade, okay? Also restricting use in high school during classroom hours. That's what we're talking about here, okay? That is the new bill introduced by legislators, and that's what they're seeking, okay? So this is my stance on that. I'm 100% behind that. And I know that there are people out there, parents, that say it is imperative that they have access to their children via a cell phone when their child is away from home. And I fundamentally disagree with that. And I'm going to tell you why. And we can get your reaction at 651-461-9226. The learning environment, as somebody that spent 17 years working in a public school system, working at a higher institution in terms of college, there is so many distractions, so many things that should not be allowed in the throughout the day in a learning environment. Cell phones are distractions. We see study after study right now about how at a certain point in the evening, put your cell phone down, because cell phones lead to you can't get good sleep. You can't do this. You can't do that. There's too much going on. And there's so many negative things about cell phone use with apps and Instagram. And there's just a lot going on. So to have a situation in which you have kids, we're not talking about college kids. We're talking about high school kids. And we're talking about kids from kindergarten through eighth grade. There's not one good reason why And if somebody wants to call in with why a kindergarten through eighth grade kid should be allowed to have a phone, 651-461-9226. With regards to the high school kids and the restrictions, they absolutely should be restricted with regards to the availability of being allowed to use a cell phone. It's just in a classroom, in a learning environment, you just can't have, to the highest of levels, kids learning and all this other stuff in the way. You just can't.
Yeah, I am not a fan of having students having their cell phones in class. I'm not. I don't like it when I go shop and I see people on their phone when they're at work. It's like if I'm just going to be at a retail store, if I'm going to be at a restaurant, if you're there and your job is to work with the public, then you can put your phone away. And when it comes to school, that's a job. Your job is to learn. And Henry, not to go back in my day, but back in our day, if they needed to get a hold of us, they would call the school. Somebody from the school office would somehow communicate to us that something happened. My grandfather passed away when I was in high school. I was sitting in I think it was civics, and I got a call from over the loudspeaker that the principal wanted to see me. I just don't think that, especially when you're younger, kids don't need cell phones. We were even debating, when do we want to get our kid a cell phone?
Yep.
Because we're like, okay, do we wait till she's in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade? You have to know when is the right time to pull that. But at the same time, you will have access to your kids by the means of contacting that school. So to say that you need instantaneous communication,
yep.
Because even if you text them, guess what? They might not even see it. They might have it in their locker. They might have it in their cubby. They might have it in their desk where it should be. So I absolutely agree that there should be no cell phones for those kids up until eighth grade. And even in high school, I'm 100% spot on as the father of a 14-year-old.
Yep.
I am totally 100% on board.
Cell phones do not enhance being in the learning environment, being in the teaching environment. It's not a part of being an educator. When an educator has to go out of their way to address kids over cell phones, it's unacceptable. I've been there, done that. I've had to deal with it. We've had to talk to parents about their children and the use of cell phones. And let me say this, and you can weigh in, 651-461-9226, that when you look at this situation, Chris, that what happened back in the day with regards to if something happened in your household. So let's say your grandfather, there's somebody that's passed away and your parents got to get a hold of you and notify you. You know what happened? The parent would go to the damn school and pick up their child and get their child out of school. They didn't text them. They didn't call them. Or if you couldn't make it, they could call the school and tell the school, hey, I need a favor. This is what's happened. Please don't let my child know. Or what? Can you have my child taken from the classroom? I'll be there to pick them. There's ways to go about this. But to have this situation where you're utilizing the cell phone in that particular instance, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, and that's
I gotta have access to my kids 24/7. Back when we were kids, there were no cell phones, and our parents were able to do the best that they could to get us.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that whole scenario because I got called to the office and then my uncle met me there and he told me what happened and I left and, spent that time with my family. And, Henry, not every kid is going to have a cell phone, too. Let's not just think that every kid is going to have access to a cell phone. Most do. But not every kid is going to. And if a kid, if you need to have access to your child,
yep.
But your child has to check their phone every 5 minutes, they're not learning anything because they're so distracted. What if my mom texts me or calls me? What if my dad? What if my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle, my, you know, grandfather, my grandmother, you know, whoever? So I feel like we've gotten a little too reliant on cell phones. I understand in certain circumstances, but you're in that situation, and sometimes kids in that environment, and I know you, Henry, you know all about that because, you know, you were an educator and in the system. Kids can get distracted by the smallest things.
Yes.
And if they get distracted,
it hurts everybody in the environment.
And you may not be able to get them back, and it can spiral. If you've got them focused for that period of time, they can check it during class, or not during class, during their periods, during period break. Right, you've got access to things not during your class hours. And I don't know. If I send my kid a text, I know that she's not going to see it. And if she does respond to me during the day, I'm going to be, why are you responding to me? You should be paying attention in class.
Yep. All right, 651-461-9226. One text here says, Henry, I agree with you. From the 612, and then from the 507, I went into the bank. A high school student was on her phone as a teller. I had to wait for her to get done on the phone before she would help me. That's horrible. And listen, this one is, when you think about me going to that Dollar Tree, and remember I talked about that individual that couldn't give me the correct
the exact change?
Like, I think about between that and people not going to college, I'm like, hey, man, we got to focus in more on what's going on in the world, especially from an educational standpoint.
Yeah, there's no focus. Like you're saying, like, you have to, it's got to be a plan. I feel like it's just existing and it's just kind of going along with no particular meaning. And I was looking at the text as well about going to the bank. I think that's very, very common because, and I look at it as disrespectful, but that's coming from a Gen Xer. I mean, I'm sure if you would, you know, millennials and Gen Z and younger, it'd be like, well, that's just what they're accustomed to because they didn't have the same guidelines and guardrails in place that we did. I couldn't wear a hat to school. Like, I couldn't wear sandals. Like, I had to wear shoes, socks, you know, certain t-shirts, like, I feel like things are a lot more lax nowadays, and I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just saying I feel things are a lot more informal when it comes to that.
Yep. All right, coming up next, when airlines negatively impact our travel plans, yes, in some cases, they should pay a penalty. We get to that next here on The Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, memo to the U.S. Transportation Department. Stop smooching up to these major airlines. When the airlines do, when they're doing things that are not in our best interest, the consumer, the American people, when they make mistakes and things, when they fall short, let them be held accountable. Let them be held accountable. A trade group named Airlines for America. They represent American Airlines, Delta Airlines, United, others. They are urging the Trump administration to end the review launched in December to take comments on whether airlines in the U.S. should provide cash to compensate for carrier-caused disruptions like they are required to do in the European Union and Canada. How was that a bad thing for the consumer? This is I hope that this is not something that the Trump administration is going to entertain. I say that I hope that that's not the case. I'm not confident that that is. But when we start talking about, and this is going to be a theme here, consumer protection, that is something that we continue to have to want to have in our country. Consumer protection, that means all of us. It doesn't mean a certain group. It means all Americans. We should be in a situation that when things and standards fall short from services and businesses like airlines in the United States of America and worldwide, that they should be held accountable, that we should be able to say what happens and should be required to get compensation over flight disruptions. What happened a couple years ago with the whole Southwest debacle over the holidays, that was unacceptable, mm-hmm. and people were ticked off about it. Let's not cave to the airlines right now and do things that they don't need to happen for them.
I think if you're asking for more oversight, you're not.
We're not going to get it.
You're not going to get it.
Yep.
Not with this administration.
I agree.
Because Elon Musk, I mean, they want to go about just completely getting rid of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They are going to go through, and the whole process of eliminating mm-hmm. is eliminating a lot of these agencies that oversee, you know, certain areas like aviation. There was, you know, the DOGE took aim at the agency that had plans of regulating X. So Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. So you've got an administration in place that is not consumer friendly. And
that's sad because consumer friendly means us all. Us all.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is not meant to be.
Not for the wealthy companies.
No. This is not meant to be a political thing. It's not. But I think when you look at the CFPB, has had opposition from Republicans and industries, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, for a long, long time. And when there are these watchdog groups that are there to protect us, if those are not there, then we can be taken advantage of by anybody in any industry, and including the airlines, because we're already at the mercy of them.
Yep.
With baggage checks, with claim, you know, there are so many things. It's like, well, okay, you can go Southwest, you can go Delta, you can go United. To me, it's Sun Country. It's pretty much all the same. I don't look at one and think, well, one's better than the other.
Oh, I do.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, I think that.
And I don't fly very often. So maybe I'm just a lot more cynical about things.
I could be in the minority here. Okay. So the text line 651-461-9226, they can help me out. Maybe I'm looking at this all wrong. I think that there's a clear leader in the clubhouse with regards to air travel in America, and that's Delta.
Delta.
I think that I do. And this is not me throwing shade at United or American, those airlines mm-hmm. that I rarely fly. And I get it. Like, the background of being a Minnesotan and the stuff with Northwest and all that years ago, I get all of that. Because there's going to be a little bit of a bias there. Mm-hmm. But even when I didn't live here, like, to me, I think there's a level of service that you get at Delta that you don't get at other airlines. Now, to be fully transparent, I fly Delta the most, followed by Southwest, followed by I would say United and then American.
Okay.
Or American and United on the same level.
Okay, we don't fly enough to really...
To see the difference?
I think we...
You fly Spirit?
We'll fly...
I'm not throwing shade. No. That's a joke.
We'll fly puddle jumpers if it's cheapest.
Oh, I'm not flying a puddle jumper.
No. I kid. I've been in a puddle jumpy before.
I bet that's scary.
Scary as hell.
No, I will not. The one with the propellers?
Yes.
You've been in a propeller one?
Yes.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah. Yep, I did it when I was a kid. They were at the it took off from a small airport in Marshall, and I flew to like Austin or something. I mean, it was
like how long of a flight is that?
It was like 20-25 minutes. It wasn't a long flight at all,
but it was scary.
But it was scary. It was long enough to know I don't ever want to do it again. The minute you get up, I'm like, man, this sucks. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I probably complained all the way, but I don't fly enough, admittedly, to see the difference between, you know, whether it's, you know, customer service. And to me, if I can get on my flight and it's on time and my bags are there and I'm not going to have to be nickel and dimed for every little freaking transaction that I do, then I consider that a win. But my faith in airlines, not the safety and security of it,
mm-hmm.
but my confidence that I'm not going to be gouged and taken advantage of as a consumer is very low.
Well, the U.S. Department of Transportation in December sought comment on whether airlines should be required to pay $200 to $300 for domestic delays of at least 3 hours, $375 to $525 for six-hour delays, and $750 to $775 for 9 hour delay. If I am delayed by 9 hours, you best believe I want $775.
At least.
At the very least. Now, at the time, then Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said in December that compensation rules for delays, quote, would change the economic incentive in a way that motivates airlines to do more. Which they should.
Yeah. Well, they should. They need some sort of motivation. What is it? If the consumer is not going to get anything out of it and there's no incentive for the business, for the airline to act in a consumer's best interest, then what reason do they have?
In May of 2023, President Joe Biden said his administration would within months write rules requiring airlines to compensate passengers for disrupted flights. Airlines must refund passengers for canceled flights,
mm-hmm.
but are not required to compensate customers for delays. Listen, our 7 o'clock guest tonight, Jordan Taylor, he's supposed to be at the Wolves game right now, watching Wolves Bucks. He's trying to get back to Minnesota, and he said to me in the 6 o'clock hour when we were doing Inside Twins, he's like, Lake, I'll hop on with you at 7 o'clock like we talked about because I was supposed to get out of here at like 3-something. Then I got delayed the first time. Then I got delayed the second time. Now I got delayed a third and fourth time, and he's like, let's just go at 7 because I'm supposed to be – he's like, I'm literally supposed to be at the Wolves-Bucks game, and I won't be able to make it.
It is infuriating if you get delayed and your schedule and your life gets upended. And they're like, well, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. It's like everybody's time is worth something. I mean, sometimes you don't have a place to be. Sometimes sometimes you don't have to worry about, okay, I've got to be someplace. I've got a connecting flight. I've got certain things that I have to do when I get to my destination. When stuff like that happens, you absolutely have to give some sort of compensation and be like, hey, we completely screwed up your entire timeline.
Yep.
Hey, our bad. No, you need something more than my bad.
Yep. All right. Coming up next, I'm going to pivot. I'm going to get back to sports for a second. I want to talk about the Wolves because there's something about the Minnesota Timberwolves that's absolutely 100% ticking me off. We get to that after weather. You're on the Lake Show.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, to find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sick of the Minnesota Timberwolves from one perspective. The Minnesota Timberwolves have a problem. And that problem is, why are the Minnesota Timberwolves always off to slow starts to basketball games? They are facing the Milwaukee Bucks tonight without Giannis, without Dame Dollar, and they're still losing. 67-63, they're not behind by 16 like they were earlier in the game. But why such sluggish and slow starts? After one quarter, they trail by 12. Like, that part just annoys me to no end, Chris. Why always is it sluggish and slow starts?
I don't know. It was kind of the – I'll go back to the game against Portland on Saturday when they were down by, I want to say, like 19 in the first half. And then third quarter was great. That fourth quarter was outstanding, and they ended up winning by 15, 16. I mean, it was – I don't know. Is that a Finch thing? Is that a player thing? Like, because there are times
I have no idea what's going on.
If you, there are teams that you can get away with that. Like even maybe last year's team, you were good enough. This year's team is not last year's team. This year's team, no. You cannot just decide, you know what? Come second half, we're going to get our poop in a group and we'll finally start playing. It doesn't matter if it's without Giannis or without Dame or, you know, whoever's not playing, you still got to get out there. And I mean, we've seen this time and time again. It's like at
too many times.
Yeah.
It's a trend. It's unacceptable.
It really is. I don't know if that's a coaching thing. I have no idea.
We got to call it out more. And I'm not even saying it's a coaching thing. I'm just saying that across the board, we have to stop with these slow starts, whether it's the players or the coaching staff, whatever. It's just unacceptable. And the reason why I say this is because it gets overshadowed when they win. So, like, for instance, right now, they're trailing 67-65. They're down by 2. With 2 minutes remaining in the third quarter. So what do I anticipate and think will probably happen? They'll finish them off in the fourth quarter. Wolves win on the front part of a back-to-back, and then they face OKC tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So they beat Milwaukee tonight. Now they're tied. Okay, they're tied towards the end of the third quarter. My point is this. No one will talk about the slow start if they end up beating Milwaukee. We should, though, because it's annoying, and it shouldn't happen. You shouldn't have to fight so hard to get back into basketball games to win games. That's not a sign of a good team.
No, it's not. And to go along with that, you're going to get into the situation, like you said, Henry. You look at the schedule. This is the first half of a back-to-back. You got the best team in the West. Maybe the best team in the NBA.
I think OKC is probably going to win the national championship. I mean, not the national championship. The NBA finals.
Yeah.
Now we got the lead.
Do you think that you can't just pull that with OKC? You're going to get run out of the gym.
No.
You'll get run out of the gym like you got run out of the gym by Cleveland. And guess what? You got, what, three in a row against OKC?
Oof.
I mean, could you win one of those games? If the Wolves beat Oklahoma City in one of those games, I would consider that a success.
I don't know, man. I hope so.
They're not beating OKC 2 out of 3. The Wolves aren't.
But, yeah, I don't think they're good enough. They're way more talented than we are. And they just got Chet back.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, if Chet's going to come in tomorrow, coming back home, Chet's going to go for 50. Chet's going to go off tomorrow. I mean, this thing's going to be over by halftime. I mean, if Wolves fans want to beat the traffic, just wait until we're off the air, because I don't want to have to deal with Wolves traffic going behind the backside of the Target.
Oh, you love Wolves traffic.
Oh, I love Wolves traffic. Yeah, I love Wolves traffic. Just win the game. But you're right. Tonight is, without those guys, you shouldn't have to expend all that energy to win a basketball game, especially when you've got OKC tomorrow night. I think that's probably the most frustrating.
And that's the frustrating part. Now, the Wolves, at this particular point, they trail by one. With 35 seconds left in the third quarter, 70-69.
It's over.
The Minnesota Timberwolves, they're shooting 34% tonight.
Is that good?
Anthony Edwards is 7 of 23. Nas Reed is 4 of 13. Jay McDaniels has not scored. He's 0 of 5. The only player that's doing anything for the Wolves tonight is Rudy Gobert. He's 8 of 10 from the field. He's got 16 points, 12 boards, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. So, like, he's balling. And then Terrence Shannon, he's in double figures.
Terrence Shannon Jr.
is playing well.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, with the Conley injury and with the DiVincenzo injury, and even Julius Randle, to a certain extent, you're getting run for Jalen Clark, who, hasn't scored tonight in 13 minutes. But you got 11 points, 3 rebounds, 4 dimes for Terrence Shannon. You're getting some of these guys a little bit of run, which I guess I choose to think of that as being a positive. But still, Nas has got a double-double, quietly got a double-double.
Yeah, he's shooting terribly, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like,
he's 0-5 from 3. He's 4 of 13 from the from the field.
Yeah, and I guess there's a reason why I'm looking at just the numbers, and you're looking at that, because you can look at the box score and say, well, man, yeah, that's not all bad. But then when you add context to it, then you're like, yeah, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, we got to get into a better situation, man. We really do.
Well, I mean, this summer, get your 35 jerseys. Get your 35.
I hope.
He had 30K last night. 30,000 points.
He scored 30,000 points last night?
Yes. He's a baller.
Wait, what was the final score then?
It was like 30,005 to like 10. I mean, I don't know. It was kind of like the old Bears. Ditka, 75. Wolves, -2.
Final segment. Before we get into Miles Davis, we've got headlines. Final segment of the Lake Show. All right, headlines kicks off the final segment here of the Lake Show before we get into our Miles Davis. Let's see what Christopher Tubbs has up his sleeve on this. Hump Day?
Hump Day? I know why they call it Hump Day, but, it's, come on. Is it really a hump day?
It is. We're getting over the hump.
Yeah. Most people get late on the weekends. Hey, police in a Twin Cities suburb have evidence that the burglary of a Minnesota Timberwolves player's home and two other break-ins last year are tied to a suspected burglary ring that has targeted pro athletes' homes across the country, according to court records. Yeah, a man arrested and charged last month in connection with the burglary at the home of Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow allegedly had a phone that contained a photo of a bracelet stolen during the burglary of a home in Medina in September. That's according to a search warrant affidavit filed Wednesday in Hennepin County. Photo was shown to one of the Medina burglary victims, who identified it as his, according to the affidavit. Police also say in the affidavit they have evidence suggesting the SUV, the suspects allegedly abandoned in Miami, is the same rental vehicle they were riding in when targeting homes in Medina City and Western Hennepin County with rural character. Medina police filed an affidavit in Hennepin County District Court asking for permission to examine the context of the suspects' phones that had been extricated by the investigators in Ohio. In all, four people have been charged in the Ohio burglary. Now, besides Wolves guard Mike Conley, other high-profile sports figures in Minnesota have had their homes burglarized under similar circumstances. Twins co-owner Jim Polad, former Wolf Troy Hudson, and former Minnesota Viking Linval Joseph. Burglaries of the unoccupied homes occurred when the athletes were playing their games or making public appearances. Conley's residence in Medina was broken into while he was in Minneapolis on September 15th to blow the Gjallarhorn before Vikings home game. Thieves typically have broken in through rear windows or glass doors on the second floor when possible, targeting jewelry and designer accessories when leaving other valuables behind. Prosecutors said a large amount of suspected stolen property was found at a pawn shop in Manhattan and a storage units in New Jersey belonging to the pawn shop's owners.
You know when this will end? Unfortunately, you know when this will end? When they break in the wrong place and this is not me promoting violence. But
and
this,
somebody's errand is going to get them.
But this is just facts. When they break into the wrong place and the perpetrator ends up in a casket. That's when it ends. No, yeah. I'm being dead serious.
No, I know.
And let's just say that I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole.
No, it's that's something.
I just know from stories of experience from somebody close to me.
Oh, okay. I mean, they're going to find out sometime. Hey,
somebody's going to mess around and find out.
Exactly. A Republican congressman from Georgia has introduced a bill to the House of Representatives that would give a new name to Greenland as President Donald Trump continues his efforts to purchase the island. Named the Red, White, and Blue Land Act of 2025, the bill introduced by Representative Earl Buddy Carter seeks to rename the island from Greenland to a more colorful Red, White, and Blue Land. The act, which would direct the new Interior Secretary Doug Burgum to oversee the change and implement it on official documentation and maps to refer to Greenland by the updated name. He says, quote, America is back and will soon be bigger and better than ever with the addition of Red, White, and Blue Land. President Trump has correctly identified the purchase of what is now Greenland as a national security priority. We will proudly welcome its people to join in the freest nation ever exist in our national negotiator-in-chief inks this monumental deal.
How is anything free when you're just trying to, from a hostile standpoint, try to just change names?
I don't know. An opinion poll indicated that 85% of Greenlanders do not wish to become part of the United States. It's nearly half saying they see interest by Trump as a threat. Survey showed that only 6% of the Greenlanders support the islands joining the U.S., 9% undecided. I mean, this is going to help groceries and everything, but here's my question. Just like the Gulf of Mexico, Greenland, that's their birth name, right? So why are we changing it? Do we have the right to change Greenland's name?
Do most Americans care about this at all? No.
No. Red, White, and Blue Land, it sounds like it sounds like a cheesy like amusement park that you'd go to in the summer if like Six Flags was closed.
Think about people, the taxpayers of this country care about other stuff, and we have people that care about this. It's infuriating, man. Anyway, next item.
Red, White, and Blue Land. Are you excited? Feel it. You won't have to go over the Gulf of America to get there, though. Yeah. Hey, I'll get to the entertainment story tomorrow on Word on the Street because I want to spend a little time on it. But Coca-Cola has posted better than expected revenue in the fourth quarter as its sales volumes rose in the United States, China, and elsewhere. Now, revenue for the Atlanta beverage giant rose 6% to $11.5 billion. That was better than the almost $11 billion Wall Street was expecting. And Coca-Cola Zero Sugar saw strong growth globally in the fourth quarter. Case volumes up 13%. Water, coffee, tea, and sports drinks volumes were all up 2%.
What is your favorite soda?
I like Coke.
Cherry Coke is my favorite pop in the entire world.
Really? Okay.
Cherry Coke. Hands down. And real quickly, have you ever been to the world of Coca-Cola?
I have not, no.
Oh, downtown. Next time you and the family are in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, go to the world of Coca-Cola.
I'm glad you specified Coca-Cola because Coca-Cola and Coke are different. Glad you specified. Next time I'm in downtown.
Your nose all right?
Yeah, fine. Just allergies.
You sure?
Allergies.
Okay.
Hey!
Sounds like you...
Snowing.
Listen.
You're going to think that I'm drawing Coke right now. I'm not. Not.
Listen, man. Just to be clear here, this is not the Dave Ryan Show.
Oh, dude! Yeah, I mean, people need to lighten up on bits.
I know Dave Ryan, so I can say that.
He seems like a good dude.
Yep. Well, back at it tomorrow, full show, 6 until 9. Talk to you then.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.